Hello, my dear friends. I am here today with my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. My name is Rob Christie. I'm a 75-year-old grandpa from San Clemente, California. I'm a got a couple years on Jim, but not very many. Today, Jim and I are going to go over some of the key concepts that he's been working on recently in order to give you a picture that you can use efficaciously in your own life. That would include his core resonance program, the role of cannabis, which may surprise some of you, soaring affirmations, guidance light, and more. So where would you like to start, Jim?
Well, first off, it's a pleasure to be here. You and I met a couple of years ago at a conference, and we've stayed in touch, and we've had some marvelous conversations. We've started recording a few of them, and this is another one. And just recently, we touched on cannabis, and I have a lot of background in it. It does play a part in my life, sometimes a little more actively than others, but there's something important about it. And I thought maybe we could mix that in with the concept of consciousness and resistance, because resistance and consciousness are opposites. The more resistant you are, the less conscious you are. The more allowing you are, did I say that right? The more resistant you are, the less conscious you are. The more allowing you are, the more conscious you are, which is to say, as you become more allowing, you blend more with source. It's actually as simple as that. And what I've come to discover is that cannabis plays a part in that. And I was advising you in our several conversations lately about the role that cannabis can play in unfolding our nature. And I'm not talking about a lot of it. In fact, it's really almost not quite microdosing, but small amounts. And so
specifically, you suggested to me that cannabis supports allowing.
That's right. That's exactly right. What I've discovered, and I've come to this understanding from my background with core resonance, I've got possibly 450 sessions, neurofeedback sessions. Now, core resonance has taken the concept of neurofeedback, advanced it almost immeasurably. So I've had access to the ability to quiet the nervous system like a lifetime of meditation in a short period of time. So I have a different vantage point for lots of different things like a lifetime of meditation would provide. And I have even more than that because core resonance can deliver more than what meditation can deliver. But what I discovered, and I've been around cannabis for 50 years now. So what I've discovered that cannabis does is it drops a layer of resistance. It drops a boundary, or some people used to say a layer of armor, because we all are shut down a little bit. We all have a certain kind of rigidity. And that's because we're all in overload. And so what cannabis does is a layer of rigidity drops away. And particularly if what's inside of you is clear and light, the cannabis experience is really wonderful. And we know that from the 70s, that's how so much consciousness kind of began, when people started, what they call it, tuning in and dropping out, or I don't remember what that expression was. But my point is that cannabis in small amounts, which we've touched on, drops a layer of resistance for which it allows us more access to plugging into what's true. Or better said, as resistance drops, consciousness goes up.
You shared something fascinating with me that about the physiology of how, you know, cannabis affects us, that if you look at the cell, there are numerous sites on the outside of the cell that invite cannabis and the like substances the body produces in.
So, you know, that's why I like You bring up some great ideas and some great concepts. First off, I had an insight a long time ago. I don't know how many years ago. It's since my core resonance training, and it wasn't a cannabis experience. It was core resonance and presence access. Cannabis will bring us back to our roots as a species. In other words, cannabis has a bigger role than we have any earthly idea because the cell at a cellular level, we have receptor sites, and like estrogen, you have estrogen receptor sites, male and female. All cells have estrogen receptor sites, and you have your fake estrogens, xenoestrogens, where they take pesticides and they're based on the estrogen molecule, which is like as dumb as you could get in science. And they got all these fake estrogens, and they fit in estrogen receptor sites in the cell, and they screw up the cell. But the point is that there are more cannabinoid receptor sites on cells than any other kind. And I believe that's true to the point that I referred an article to you that was written in 2014 that I've shared many times. And they say there's more cannabinoid receptor sites than any other sort. And so that means that, first off, the body produces cannabinoids, but it doesn't produce them in sufficient quantities. And so an external source, which are called phytocannabinoids, which come from marijuana, cannabis. And of course, you've got CBD, which is a source of cannabinoids, and so is your regular marijuana. And all of that helps placate the cell and helps feed the cell. And there's a certain kind of a strength, a certain kind of neutrality, a certain kind of homeostasis that shows up from cannabinoids. And so the relationship between marijuana, cannabis, and even the hemp, that's why this whole concept is growing of interest, is because cannabis provides phytocannabinoids to where the body produces endocannabinoids, and the whole thing's a match. And then when you discover that getting high, and I'm not talking about getting loaded and getting crazy, some people call it microdosing, but there's a layer of resistance that drops away, and all of it is a match because we're working on becoming more conscious. We're working on the tools of consciousness, and it turns out cannabis plays a role. It's legal in most states now, medically and what's the term? Medically and recreationally, and it turns out that it has a very distinct spiritual component, and that's why we're talking about it today.
Well, you've been involved with, cannabis for 50 years, so you've seen an evolution to the point today where you're seeing aspects to the use of phytocannabinoids that didn't occur to you 50 years ago.
We in the old days, first off, the quality of cannabis was horrendous compared to what it is now, but it made you feel good, and it was kind of an escape. And there's plenty of reason to have escapes in the late 60s and in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. And escape isn't a very good term because we now better understand the layer of our own resistance drops away. And as it drops away, we open up. Now, I don't find it addictive or anything like that. I don't have any psychological. In fact, just a few days ago or a week ago, I stopped altogether because I go through phases and I play with different things. And but it is enjoyable. It's when you overdo it, and humans tend to overdo everything. And by the way, I overdo everything, but that's part of my nature. But it doesn't mean I can't pull back. I explore. I don't stop at boundaries like where most people might. And I've had quite a life so far because I don't play by the rules. And so cannabis is interesting stuff. It does deliver a certain type of pleasure. It turns out it generates homeostasis for the body. And they say the CBD might take a year to really infiltrate your system, a year of regular use of CBD to really saturate the body and bring a certain kind of internal satisfaction. I was trying to say satisfaction. That's not a word. a certain type of.
We kind of switched to a different topic. Say a little bit more about what CBD is.
Well, I
Some
don't
of
know
our
much
audience
about
may not.
CBD. I don't know much
Exactly.
about CBD, except I've never had really good experience with it because maybe I'm expecting something a little bit more complex. But I met somebody a couple of weeks ago at an event, and I'm always interested in these things, and of course, health and getting older in a more refined manner. And there's things available that weren't available 30 years ago. So the generation before us getting older and us getting older is really a different story. And there's so many things that weren't available and we didn't understand. And so CBD is another one of those that's been explored by science and non-traditional science as well. And there's a type of stasis that comes from that. And I met a gentleman at an event, and he really made it clear, because again, I continue to inquire things I don't understand as well as I might, that there's just a homeostasis that comes from it and a state of well-being, a sense of well-being that's a little bit different from being stoned, because this is more of a long-term thing. And of course, CBD is generally kind of expensive. You can easily spend $100 a month on it. There's different. Let's see, what would you say? There's a term for it, and I'm not versed in cannabinoids to speak of, but there's different cannabinoids for different characteristics, and really more it's the issue of purity is where I would start with all that. But the CBD has powerful is becoming more understood. And same thing with cannabis is becoming, or THC is what's in the active cannabinoid in marijuana, or as I call it, cannabis these days. And so it's an experimentation. The THC is particularly interesting because you have an instantaneous result from it, you might say. And the idea is don't do a lot of it. Don't do a lot of it. I was talking with you a couple of weeks ago, and actually you went out to a dispensary in California where it's been legal for a long time now, and which is really a curious experience. And you went and played with some of the edibles. And one of my big recommendations was don't do a lot. And you've had good experiences, right?
Yes, and your counsel to do less turned out to be very good, because if I did more, my experience shaded more toward getting high as opposed to engendering a feeling of well-being and an enhanced connection to other people. So it's curious when less is more.
Well, and as we become more subtle in the living of life, less is always more. And again, a layer of resistance, a layer of rigidity drops away, and that willingness to extend, to communicate to another becomes more evident and more available. And this is the kind of stuff I document, because core resonance and now soaring affirmations and access to guidance light, all of that is a product of a certain type of letting go of a certain type of rigidity. So I don't say cannabis, and again, I talk about, I'm talking about the CBD stuff, pardon me, the THC stuff that where people quote unquote get high, and where really what getting high really is a layer of resistance and rigidity dropping away. It's really as simple as that. And so consciousness, again, more consciousness is less rigidity, less overload, less resistance, more allowing. Things open up. A tree is completely plugged into the cosmos because a tree has no resistance. Technically, it has a little bit of resistance because it stands up straight. And for it to stand up straight, it has to have a little bit of resistance to falling over. So falling is one of the places where resistance has a place. But generally speaking, mental and emotional resistance is low on the emotional intelligence scale. And if we can use cannabis in small amounts to open up to a bigger world. And again, I'm not talking about being drunk, and I'm not talking about being stoned, and I'm not talking about being stupid and walking in front of cars and hassling people. It's just a simplicity of letting go a little bit, and surprisingly, the world changes a lot. Changes a lot.
I definitely find myself more inclined to connect with other people when I've done a little tiny bit of the edibles, and there isn't any efforting involved.
That's right. The layer,
It's
a
just
layer of resistance drops
just
away and you simply open up.
a predilection to connect.
And don't forget that connect could be to the person, you can walk by a bus stop and say hello to somebody as you walk by and give them a smile and keep going. Is that about being stoned? No, it's about being open to being receptive to sharing with somebody for a second or two, or maybe end up in a conversation. And the point is, the discovery becomes what happens after resistance, or what becomes available beyond resistance and beyond rigidity. I'm still trying to figure out that word I was trying to make up, something about satisfaction. I don't remember what I was trying to make up a word. I didn't pull it off. But the point is, when we are out in the world and we share with people, there's something that happens. First off, we share our state. Our state is more about allowing. And when we share that state with another, we actually transfer that state, especially if the other person is receptive. And what I was starting to say, or I'm still again trying to figure out that word I was trying to make up, but as we share with others, it's a transference, you might say, especially if they're receptive. And then you'll discover that you don't need the cannabis to do the same thing. So it's kind of like what they call a right-handed crutch. A right-handed crutch is the kind that doesn't hurt you. A left-handed crutch is you become more dependent on it. So a right-handed crutch is something you use and then you let it go at some point. So the fun part is, I only several weeks ago, and I'd say less than a month ago, I threw out the idea of doing a little bit of cannabis. And suggested the idea of dispensaries and how to go about doing this legally. And just to touch, you played with gummies. I think you're playing with indica right this minute. I think a bag or the amount you would buy is 100 milligrams. I think the gummies were in 10 milligrams. You initially
That's
did
correct.
half a gummy, which was 5 milligrams, and now you're doing a quarter of a gummy, which is 2.5 milligrams, which is about the amount I recommend, about the equivalent of, the to the you're less than the bottom of the thumbnail on your pinky. Not a very large amount. And it takes an hour. Edibles take an hour. And edibles are quite different from smoking, but edibles, they take as much as an hour to kick in. They last 4 or 5 hours, and it's a lot nicer that, people do alcohol, they do some wine, they do this, even nicotine and cigarettes has some kind of a characteristic. And this stuff is lighter than all of that. And of course, there's no hangover whatsoever from any
Two
amount of
quick
cannabis.
additions. It doesn't take me an hour,
Yeah, right.
but my digestive system, I'm what's called a fast oxidizer, which means my digestive system goes faster than the average. The other thing I've noticed, even only having been involved in the experiment till since late December, I'm already noticing cumulative effects, Jim.
Well, these are the kind of things we wanted to touch on. So I had recommended that you try this based on my understanding of consciousness. A bit of a layer of resistance and rigidity drops away, which we all carry. By the way, when I get stoned, a layer drops away, and I have downloads just waiting, literally waiting when I get high. And again, I don't do a lot. I do, 2.5 milligrams. It isn't much. And so tell me about that, your experience.
Well, what I'm noticing is I get some of that same letting go of resistance, whether I'm at the effect of the gummies or not.
There we go. It's a new
That that's
model.
the that's the accumulation effect that has happened in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. So we all have this rigidity of what we know, and this is the shortcoming of the mind to begin with. The mind cannot project other than what it already has a reference for. So, and I'm not saying you didn't know this or whatever scale of order that you knew it, but when you did the cannabis, you did the gummy, something happened that gave you a new view that you didn't have before. So now that you have that new view held in your mind, you can now find it much more readily. And does it take the cannabis to do it? No. So that's the reason I recommended it, to play with it, not to, to get you where you get, have to marry somebody that owns a cannabis store, but or whatever. But because first off, I don't find it addictive. Now, some personalities, eating eggs all the time, become addictive, and so there's different personalities, but so a new pattern and habit was introduced through the cannabis, for which that new pattern and habit became grounded in your system, for which that pattern and habit, which is what? A certain type of sensing out and receiving back, and whether you're high or not, or that pattern and habit's now available. So you've modeled a new mechanism for looking at the world that cannabis introduced. Now, will it ever go away? No, because you've learned it. Do you need to do
Well,
cannabis the rest of your life?
I'll
No.
give you a very specific example. I am less anxious at work.
Yeah.
Things that before the experiment set me off are less likely to do so now. And if I do go down, either the anger or the anxiety route, it's not
Certain
as
type of,
intense and it doesn't last as long.
yeah, so a certain type of rigidity has faded.
Hello, my dear friends. Glad you could tune in today, wherever you are. I'm here today with my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. I'm Rob Christie, a 75-year-old grandpa from San Clemente, California. I got a few years on Jim, but not very many. We've both been around for many decades. Our purpose today is to share some ideas with you about Core Resonance, a program Jim has been involved with intensely for many years, the role of cannabis in letting go of resistance, Jim's idea about affirmations that he's taken to a new level that he calls soaring affirmations, guidance light. Something that he has found he has been able to access as a result of his recent activities and wants to share with you. So, Jim, where would you like to start?
Okay, so thank you for the introduction again. It's always a pleasure to do this with you. We do good questions and we have good back and forth. So in part two, the first thing I'd like to touch on is the concept of core resonance. And core resonance, I've got almost 50 years background in meditation, and in the year 2006, 2007, I was introduced to neurofeedback, for which I sold $1 million worth of neurofeedback at 40,000 a pop based on two ideas in my first book, Visionaries Thrive in All Times. I'm not going to go into all that. But and then I learned how to, I developed a whole different way to use neurofeedback. And so it is neurofeedback, but it's really evolved. And I think 5% of the world would understand or use has maybe stumbled on how I use neurofeedback. And so it's given me an advanced level, not only having toward 50 years background in meditation, but Core resonance does the same thing at a much more refined level, because what meditation about is learning how to put the mind aside and learn how to listen with the nervous system. That's really what goes on anyway. In fact, what comes when you listen, you're sensing out with your ears and receiving back, and that information goes into your brain, and that's all part of your nervous. Your brain is the biggest single chunk of your nervous system. And so touching, tasting, smelling, seeing is sensing out and receiving back. And as you quiet the nervous system more and more, our sense of connection with source becomes enabled, because source, God, frequency of God, whatever you want to call it, is a very subtle frequency, and it takes a quieted nervous system. So this is the quest I'm on, is enabling my natural state of connection with source, and this is what I teach. So that's what.
So both meditation and core resonance will facilitate accessing the state that you're talking about.
Meditation takes a lifetime, and it's not to say that 6 months won't give you a very distinct difference in your life and influence even the rest of your life, because you'll never really kind of go back. But core resonance goes much farther. I can achieve the equivalent of a lifetime of meditation in, I'll say, easily 2.5 years. A lifetime of meditation with core resonance can equal a lifetime of meditation. But what happens when you've done core resonance for 5 or 6 years? There's an advancement of more effectively quieting the nervous system. Again, it takes us your nervous system's like your like a receiver, like a living antenna system. And so the quieter the nervous system is, the less resistance, and that's why we're talking about cannabis, and I want to get back to that. But the more we become a receiver, the more innate intelligence we can evidence, innate intelligence expressing through us, for what I call a ride of a lifetime. But people can read about that at coreresonance.com. But what I wanted to touch on real quick, because you mentioned affirmations, is I retired at 30 with a 40-foot sailboat. And I mean, I had my boat by the time I was 20, 40-foot sailboat, no family money, no family teaching, no nothing. It was a product of harnessing the subconscious mind, goal setting, and meditation. And what I'm trying to say is affirmations are huge. Learning how to saturate the mind with your output so that your output is singular. And nowadays, guidance, light, and soaring affirmations is about saturating the mind with a certain type of affirmation about your connection with source, for which then everything else unfolds. Because most of us are caught up in, we hurt our foot, or so and so died of so and so, and we have all these different focuses, and that's no wonder we get a mishmash of everything. So I don't want to, unless you have a remark, any thought on that before we head back toward the cannabis
Yeah,
thing.
just very briefly, at the age of 30, and I can certainly resonate with this, you wanted to manifest a sailboat. And you did, using affirmations. Now, past 70, your focus is on manifesting something else. Say
Well,
just a little more about that something else.
so the first thing we have to have is dominion over our affairs. And we do that by learning how to harness our mind and our brain, and particularly our mind, because that's really what we initially have authority over and control over. And so what I proved very early on, and I had my 39-foot sailboat, Pearson 39 centerboard yawl, 1975 model. No, it was a 74. I put the deposit on that boat when I was still 25. I paid 50 grand for that boat, borrowed the money over the phone. I mean, I really built myself. I barely got out of high school. And the point is, to have authority in this universe and connect with source, you have to have first authority over yourself, which means you have to have dominion over your own affairs, which means you have to have dominion over the out your output, which sometimes I call your prayer. But you have to have dominion over that, and if you don't, you get a mishmash of everything. And so soaring affirmations, guidance light, I wish I what guidance light. So when you do core resonance, you have access to full-blown guidance, because you move out of the mind altogether. You move into presence, guidance shows up, guidance delivers you to order. When you're doing affirmation-based technologies, those are mind-based technologies, and mind-based has limits in what it can produce. You have to get rid of the mind altogether to actually have truest access to source. And so mind-based will deliver what I call guidance light. It's a relatively new term because I'm now doing mind-based technologies, or I'm going back to my beginnings where I manifested a 40-foot sailboat by the time I was technically 26. But I was coming down the Intercoastal, 1976, Cheeseburger in Paradise is a big song. And but I was doing cannabis back then and all of that, and but I didn't understand it like I understand it now. And cannabis is a great, you know, what I'd like you to, what I wanted to do is I wanted to identify what's true for me. I wanted to play with you with small amounts. And lo and behold, what's happened is what I thought would occur for you as it have for me is true. And that's a small amounts of cannabis are really, really effective. And they open up a world that otherwise the rigidity and the blinders that we all carry, because we're all on overload, so we don't take in more information than we have to. But as that rigidity drops away, that overload drops away, even for short periods of time, the world opens up. And that's the experience that we're talking about. That's the experience you've come to document, or you're sharing. And what else would you touch on what we've been talking about, you know, like from our first video about your experience with cannabis?
Well, I think the first word that comes up is intrigue.
There we go.
You know, if I can spend a couple of weeks, you know, I haven't gotten to my 10th little quarter yet. And already I am noticing a reduction in stress. When I get angry, it goes away quickly.
Or may not come up in the first place.
Or yes. And the intrigue is, my goodness, if less than 10 little tiny quarters of a gummy can do this, my God, what's next? And then I hear you talking about your experience with storing affirmations, guidance light. And there's, you know, a hunger in me, you know, to continue the experience and to evolve into things that I can't even imagine.
So
based on my prior experience that apparently are possible.
So I consider, you know, my whole life has been experimental. I barely got out of high school. My English teacher, I had her for junior and senior English in high school. And I was failing out because my dad and I didn't get along in my senior year and this and that. And she thought failing me wasn't going to be part of the answer. And I was about to get drafted and I got busted with a half a pound. I'd already been in for my physical and they wouldn't take me in the military because I was, and then I got, and then I went to court. And although the short story is, my probation officer, the first time I saw him, he says, "You're not the typical kind of guy I get in here. I better never see you again." And I said, "Does that mean I can move to Dallas?" He said, "I better never see you again." That was the end of my probation. And I got out of the military based on getting caught with a hat. Somebody turned me in high school, or no, first quarter of a junior college, which I had no interest in being there in the first place. And so my life, so, well, let's touch on one tiny more thing. Speaking of affirmations, I started out with a book called The Lazy Man's Way to Riches by Joe Carbo. I don't know what year I bought it. And what he was really doing is he was teaching people how to do classified ads or something. But the first third of the book was about affirmations and goal setting. And I just took off with that stuff. I wasn't interested in the traditional education at all. And this became my education. So I went through five, and I remember coming home from waiting tables one night, and it was the next morning actually, because we was cocktailing all night. And I lived had a house on a little lake, and I walked out on the docks in my wader clothes where people were getting ready to go sailing and this and that. And I got interested in sailing and had my first boat shortly later. And by the time I was 26, I'd bought a 40-foot sailboat. And so I have always done differently. And so I had that boat for 8 years. I was suntan feet was one of the goals, by the way, one of the big goals. And I've really never looked back. When I got off the boat, I sold boats in Fort Lauderdale for 3 years, went out west, discovered ideas about tax law and this and that, got really involved in all of that. And I have never done traditional anything, and my whole life has been different. And now I got 5 books and 180 articles about consciousness, and I continue along. And then I dropped a simple idea to you about how to drop a layer of resistance. And I believe that because you work with the public, and it would enhance your relationship, your sales relationship with the public. And that's exactly what happened. And now, so that's a little entry point into some of my other stuff. And it's not like you're not familiar, but all of a sudden I showed you something simple that worked, and it's opened up more ideas. And that's really what all this is about.
Well, one thing that strikes me, Jim, regardless of what one may feel about, oh, let's take Bill Gates and for example, he dropped out of Harvard and followed his own
Steve
inclinations.
Jobs, same thing. Yeah.
Same thing with Steve Jobs.
Elon Musk,
And the
he walked away from college, from you, from his.
And the creations that flowed from those decisions to dance to the beat of a different drummer have influenced our society in major ways. Any one of those three guys, let alone all three. And I get the same vibe every time I talk to you, that for whatever reason, you don't automatically accept the conventional wisdom. Instead, you're looking to other sources of information you regard as credible,
Other
and
venues, yeah.
a rather incredible work product has flowed from that.
Well, it's been astounding. I mean, I maybe in a different video we could talk about what drove me past the authority figure that was my dad, past the authority figure that was the church, past the authority figure that was the school or university, and past the authority figure that was the government. I went right past those, plugged back into source early on. I started meditating when I was 23, and by a few years, I came to see that meditation is moving out of your mind and your nervous system. When you move out of your mind, you realize it's your nervous system, like a living antenna system, is sensing the cosmos, because everything else, even the mineral kingdom, has a connection with the cosmos, the governance that everything shares on this bigger scale of order.
Good morning, my friends. I am here this morning with my dear friend, Jim Hamilton. I'm Rob Christie, a 75-year-old grandpa from San Clemente, California. And we're here today to explore some of the ideas that Jim has shared with me recently. One of them that we've yet to touch on, and I'm eager to hear Jim's input on this, is This is a man who dances to the beat of a different drummer, has not listened to traditional voices, got past the authority of his father, got past the authority of the church, got past the authority of schools. And as a result of getting past those constraining voices, has produced over the last 50 years an absolutely incredible work product that anyone seeking to expand his consciousness can benefit from. And that includes core resonance. One of the processes Jim's been working on for 50 years, the role of cannabis, which may surprise some of you. Soaring affirmations, a step beyond what people typically regard as possible with affirmations. Last but not least, guiding light. Well, you know, what happens in your life when you are open in a special way to God, to source? Jim, where would you like to start?
Well, again, I appreciate the introduction and your thoughts about, how we interact with each other and interface with each other and the contribution we bring to each other. I would start by, first off, core resonance goes back 20 years. You'd said 50 years. My meditation background goes back 50 years, and just about 50 years. My cannabis background goes back 50 years as well, curiously. But what I want to touch on first is what I call the core tech trilogy, where my focus lately, the last, since let's say 2007, 2008, no, 2006, what was it? 2006, 2007, I was introduced to neurofeedback, which became core resonance. And that's been my primary focus. And I've kind of topped out in that as far as I want to go right now, as far as being able to introduce a client base to my work. That
So that
final,
goes back 15, 16 years,
yeah,
roughly.
so 2006, 2007 is when I was introduced to my second physicist who introduced me to neurofeedback. And that has been quite the expansion for me. And so now I'm going back to what I to the my original work, which was Visionaries Lab. So now I have three components of my work. Visionaries Lab, which is all a mind-based technology. It's what you can do with the mind. It's like the cannabis stuff is a mind-based technology because yes, we're releasing the mind, but it's driven by the mind. Technically, cannabis isn't driven by the mind, but we're reducing the mind, so the focus is all around the mind. So Visionaries Lab is all mind, is a mind-based technology. Soaring Affirmations is mind-based, and as I touched on in an earlier video, Guidance Light is not full-blown guidance that you can get from core resonance, but because we're working with the mind and the mind is still part of the show, even though we've cleaned it up substantially, Guidance Light becomes available. And then the third component is what I call the 508 communities, which I'll just say humans need to belong to churches instead of belonging to the state. And the state is a limited concept. I'm talking about government. And humans properly should be resident of churches instead of resident of states. And that's all legal stuff. But so what we were talking about, where we wanted to go was when I was really young, as early as I can remember, let's say 2 years old, and this would go back earlier, but it's as early as I can remember it. I was in touch with where I came from before I was born. Now, I'd like to see people create books around other people's experiences of what they remember from when they were really young about what they remember, because we all come from source. We all go back to source, and some of us come in with more insight from that connection than others. And I came in, there was a door to my right. I remember this plain as clearly as anything I've ever, and to this day, I still remember it as clearly as clear as can be. But when I was really young, there was a door to my right, and it had a gap under it, almost 2 feet. 18, 20 inches. I don't know what it was, but there was a camaraderie of where I had come from. And see, I don't even tell this story very often, but there's a camaraderie of where I had come from before I was born that was with me as I was an infant and a very, very, very young child. And as I grew into boyhood, you might say, knowing that this connection would fade at some point. And I'd say by the time I was 8 years old, it was completely gone. Now, I had no reference for it not being real. I had no reason to look under the door. It was simply there. And the point is that connection was so distinct. It was so clear. It was a camaraderie that was so big that when I came up against authority figures like my dad, or the church, or the school system, or the government, they paled in comparison. So my whole life has been different because I've been guided by something, or I was introduced to something bigger than all of these man-made things from the get-go. So that's how I've come through my life and how I had my 40-foot sailboat by the time I was 26. Because again, I put the deposit on it February, I guess that would have been February 76. And so I had the boat from 76 to 84.
What's your sense of what was behind that door?
Well, first off, it was source, but and to tell you the honest truth, and I've zeroed in on, I believe I had the highest connection with Magdalene of any earthly, non-earthly entity, more so than Jesus. I call him Yeshua, and I have a high regard for Yeshua. In fact, I have a personal relationship with him that's more like a friendship because we know each other. But
For those
Magdalene,
who don't know, who's Magdalene?
is it Mary Magdalene, the partner of Jesus, or the, you know, I don't, I'm not a biblical person, but I think you have, there's two Marys. And of course, Mary was a title.
Well, whatever your sense is.
Yeah, well, so there's a book called The Book of Love by Kathleen McGowan, and she wrote a series of three books, and she talks about Magdalene, and that Magdalene, that Yeshua was died on the cross and all that, and whatever happened with that, I don't have any doubt, you know, he arose in this and that, but not in a biblical sense. But she and Yeshua were extremely close, and his teachings were actually forwarded into the world through her. She left after the crucifixion, ended up in France, crossed the Mediterranean, ended up in France, and taught his work. And that was, I believe, that was what the Cathars were. There's an awful lot of in southern France, regard statues and reliefs and carvings and paintings of Magdalene. And so she ended up surviving Yeshua's teachings and brought him into the world. And there's stories that they had several children and this and that, and that's incidental to the point I'm trying to make. But Magdalene, she's both of them were bloodline. They both were different bloodlines. Yeshua and Magdalene, I don't want to get into all that, but they were very powerful, non-traditional human beings on this earth, and she survived the crucifixion and taught his work for many years. And I believe the well, I don't want to get into his history. That's not my strength.
Well, if I'm understanding you correctly, you had some sense of these beings very early in life, and it affected you profoundly.
I came in with it. I came in with it, and so I have never done anything traditional. I'll even, well, I'll make things complicated, but that connection, that camaraderie that I had with what was on the other side of the door, and I had no reason to look. Why? It was intact. The connection, that energetic was intact, and it totally infiltrated me. So as I grew up, I never bought the authority figure that was my dad. My dad wasn't a good authority figure anyway, but and the same thing with school. I had Sunday school, I had 10 years perfect attendance, and I kept saying this doesn't add up. This doesn't make sense that Jesus died for our sins. I don't want to get into all that, but I didn't buy it. I didn't buy the existing authority. I didn't buy the footprint of what is so when I came into this lifetime. And so now I've had my 40-foot sailboat for 80 years and my suntan feet. Now here I am at 70, let's say, and retirement isn't even the beginning of being. I already retired. I am all this lifetime is extra innings, and I've got the next 30 years planned of teaching consciousness, for which I showed you a simple concept, how a little bit of cannabis can you op can open you up. It can drop a layer of rigidity and a layer of resistance and a layer of overload. Because when your brain is in overload, you're resistant because you don't you can't take more info. Everybody's on overload. The reason we're all in overload is our natural state is a connection with guidance. The trees have it, the butterflies have it, the migration animals have it. They all have access to this guidance. Humans are out of sync with it. So we're using the brain to try to process the entire world and all of our choices about who we're going to marry, what we're going to be when we grow up, and how to get through life. And the brain was never designed for that function. It doesn't, it's not designed to see. Intuition is very different from what the brain does and what the mind does. And we need to learn how to access intuition. And without it, we're lost. And lost means overload. Overload means we can't take in anything new because we're full already, and we're full of facts. We're full of facts that mean nothing. We're full of all kinds of stuff. And so rigidity is a product of being in overload, unable to take on anything new. So my work is about quieting the nervous system. I use my version of neurofeedback. I use core resonance to allow the brain to rediscover it, to discover itself through the hardware software, the brain to reorganize itself, kind of like defragging a hard drive. The whole nervous system quiets down. You move out of overload, your connection opens up. And so as you move out of resistance and overload, you move into allowing. The more you move into allowing, the more you invariably, inevitably, start to blend with source, just like the trees do and everything else. And as that connection becomes enabled, by the way, allowing grows, that the whole and the whole world opens up. And the tiny bit of cannabis you did, what we saw, I think we think it's 2.5 milligrams, a quarter of a 10-milligram gummy is plenty. To see the what's beyond the resistance and what's beyond the rigidity and what's beyond the overload. And it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. And cannabis is friendly. Cannabinoids, you have more cannabinoid receptor sites in the cells than any other type. The cannabis produces cannabinoids, they call them phytocannabinoids, a perfect match for the receptor sites because the body produces endocannabinoids and they're the same thing. I mean, they're very, 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 very close. They can't be the same thing because these are produced by the body, but they're a match for the cannabinoid receptor sites. And that's the beginning of homeostasis. So what's homeostasis really? It's about your connection with source. But the first thing you gotta do is quiet down the nervous system. And what I showed you was something really simple to begin that process. And all of a sudden you're telling me that what before we started this video, I made a suggestion, and a few months ago you wouldn't have been receptive to it. Your hackles would have gone up a little bit, and now you can see that you feel a little bit different. I don't know if you're stoned right now or not. I'm not. I stop anyway. I come and go with this stuff, but a layer of resistance dropped away. I threw out an idea before we started these videos, and you totally accepted it. You remarked that a couple of months ago, you might not have, your hackles might have gone up a little bit about what my thought was. And that's the beginning. That's consciousness. That's what consciousness looks like, letting go where we once would hold on to old thoughts. That's what we're doing here. So what we want to do is even as a young kid, laying on the floor with two stereo speakers on either side of my head and listening to music, I think it was Steppenwolf long enough back. We were looking for techniques to let go with. And LSD and all that stuff, and more recently ayahuasca, all of those are mechanisms of letting go. And some are better than others. And the problem with LSD, and I've done my fair share when I was younger. I've never done, I haven't done ayahuasca, and I may or may not. It's incident. Probably don't. I'm probably, but the point is, what cannabis or let's, well, even cannabis, but LSD, ayahuasca, all those kinds of things, what they do is they take you out of your mind completely and give you an experience that the mind could never deliver on its own. So when the mind fades out or you put it aside, the world opens up. You go from black and white to technicolor, is what I used to say a long time ago. To me, the shortcoming of ayahuasca, LSD, etc., and I'm not making them bad, but you don't know where they're going to drop you off at the end of the experience. And I'm not saying they're going to drop you off in hell. That's not my point. But there's a lot of processing that has to be done after the experience. Like if you're going to do LSD, the best thing to do is not have to go to work the next morning, I promise you. And ayahuasca isn't any different. And so the shortcoming of those kind of mechanisms, which move you out of your mind completely, for which all these new all worlds open up, and it has a massive advantage because otherwise you never would have had access to it. But the shortcomings are it's a temporary experience. And again, as I like to say, the experience drops you off other than where you were. And you don't know where it's going to drop you off. Where core resonance, for example, we can move you out of your mind, move you beyond your mind by quieting the nervous system, enabling your connection. And as that connection becomes enabled, the mind will subside. That's much more elegant. And I like the language of ayahuasca. In fact, I'd like to adopt some of the language of ayahuasca to explain core resonance. But again, the game is to quiet the nervous system, become receptive to a bigger picture, learn how to let that bigger picture express through you. For again, I think I made the remark for the ride of a lifetime, because our ability to be in charge is pretty hokey. I mean, if you look at the planet, how it's doing, the humans' mind-based solutions, all we keep doing is adding new laws. After somebody does something to somebody, we add a new law so somebody else won't do it again. But none of the stuff the humans do in governance has anything to do with a solutions orientation. All they want to do is stop the next thing, the last thing that happened from stopping from happening again. And they just can't keep adding more laws and more rules, and none of it adds up. And of course, we're at the end of that. We are at the end of that. I work with a gentleman, and I'd like to talk about this next time. He actually claims to be an archangel, and as I listen and watch our meetings, I'm accepting of his backdrop. And one of the things he says is that the Aquarian Age officially came in on the winter solstice of 2022. And that the transition from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age took 10 years. So 2012, December 2012 is when the Piscean age ended, and this 10-year transition to the Aquarian age. And so we're now in a new age. And actually, one of the things I want to do is teach people how to see evidence for the new, because we need to learn how to witness the new and leave the old behind and quit entertaining it in our head. And that's a discipline. It's one of the things I want to teach. And we start by having dominion over our affairs. And maybe we start with a little bit of cannabis. Maybe we learn to understand, what would the term be? Saturating the mind with affirmations and soaring affirmations. Learn how to clean up our prayer and our output. And now we have dominion over our affairs. And we learn how to then be not only contributive, but exponentially contributive as we become partnered with Source in our this next phase of planet Earth and humans on it. We're about 20 minutes now, so we can stop any soon time, but
Well, one last thing I'd like to get on the tape, get your input on. There was initially a minor amount of resistance to experimenting with the edibles, because
On your part?
I stopped smoking grass in my mid-20s
Sure.
because it was interfering with my ability to function as a real estate broker, which
Right.
was one of the first careers. So I had, I had that negative attachment to it as not something I was doing so much to enhance my consciousness, but sort of another way, well, tonight I'll get drunk and tomorrow night I'll get high. And it was all part of the same,
Right.
but wow, not this time around. The experience of those edibles is anything but consciousness constricting. It's the opposite. When that layer of resistance drops, and I'm not doing it for the purpose of escaping anything, to the contrary, I'm doing it for the purpose of embracing my reality in a new way.
Well, so cannabis has changed, the quality of it has changed immeasurably. I remember actually I was doing LSD. This is about 1970 or something like that, sitting on a porch watching cars go by and the different kinds of trails, the cars. I like the Austin Healey 3000 trails the best, if you know what I'm talking about. There was an accident right in front of our house. The three or four of us sitting on the porch on LSD, and an accident occurred. And we walked out there. I don't know how that happened, but we did. And this guy gave us this short cigar box. He said, "Here, take this." And the police hadn't showed up. And it had an ounce of Acapulco gold, Panama red, because this guy was selling high-end cannabis back then. And I remember we smoked the whole lid of Acapulco gold in one night. And now, one or two hits on a pipe. One hit is generally plenty. So first off, the quality of cannabis and the power of it, the strength of it has grown immeasurably, but the adulterants in it has dropped. So we could probably say thank you to Silicon Valley, because above Silicon Valley is Northern California, and that's where a lot of that stuff was going, because cannabis does enhance lots of creativity. So Silicon Valley had lots of that going on. But the quality of it is so much better, and now all you have to do is realize that less is more. And one of the things I want to remark, this is my idea of fun, is I've watched Mike Tyson with Joe Rogan, and they're both really they're out there they're puffing on their giant marijuana cigarettes, their joints, and they're stoned as can be. And my attitude is, we can talk about cannabis because I figure we can do anything Mike Tyson can do. So, what I'd like to do is pick this up next week and talk a little bit about what I've discovered from this Archangel and this 10-year transition. And we are now totally in the Aquarian age. And I see a lot of evidence for what he's talking about, including the quality of cannabis becoming so much better. I mean, that's what's happened over the last 10 years. And I mean, it's become legal. I think in California, it's been legal at least 10 years. California is out in front of everybody else. And it's not about doing a lot, it's about doing a little and noticing, even document. You should, if you're going to do cannabis, why don't you journal? Why don't you document how you feel before, how you feel after, how,
I'm
and
doing
what you
that,
notice.
although
Say it again.
I've experienced some limitations of time,
Yeah.
but
Yeah.
I am doing that,
Yeah.
however briefly.
Well, here we are documenting it as well. And your sales position, you interface with your people. And I'm not saying get stoned. I'm saying just do a little bit and let a layer of resistance drop away and see what you notice, because noticing it is part of consciousness. We want to notice the things that serve us, and
Paradoxically,
we want
less
to
seems to
enhance
be
those.
more.
Say it again.
Paradoxically, less seems to be more.
Well, because consciousness is subtle, and it doesn't take an anvil on your foot or an anvil on your head, in cartoon terminology. to have an experience. And as you become more conscious, less is more. Precisely. And by the way, the frequency of God is very subtle. And you're not going to access the frequency of God when you have a hangover. I mean, you might actually. So here we are again. We are just touching on the experiences you've had. We're a week later after having recorded, and you had some remarks about your experience. You're now playing with sativa just a little bit. Rob, why don't you touch on again what your report on what you seem to be noticing and what you think, and also what your final conclusion was that we just touched on.
Well, as I shared earlier, Jim, yesterday was the first time I tried some sativa, and it was in the form of a quarter of a chocolate chip cookie. I had learned from my experience with indica that one quarter or 2.5 milligrams, 2.5 milligrams was a good dose for me. So I started with that. With sativa, and I didn't notice any great change in my experience
between the indica and the sativa.
That's correct. I felt the effect almost immediately. It got stronger up to about the 60-minute point, and I was done with the experience somewhere between 4 and 5 hours from when I started. The same profound sense of well-being. The only difference I noticed was with the, I have slight balance issues, minor
with the indica
that don't appear with the sativa. And I've also noticed that during the times when I'm not doing either, that, I'm more relaxed than I was before I, started this experiment. And we're talking, you know, it's only been since early January, and we're only at the 18th. So we're talking days, a couple of weeks, that, you know, I've done one whole indica, four halves and five quarters. So that's a total of 10 experiences. And the one sativa experience yesterday makes 11. So, you know, in a short period of time with a relatively small number of experiences, it's already spilling over into my my everyday life in the form of feeling more relaxed and noticing if something comes up that would historically have sent me down the path of you know, anxiety, upset, blah, blah, blah.
So let me ask a question then. What you're saying is then in your, the little experience you've had, and I don't mean little experience, but then the limited experience you've had thus far with primarily the indica, your sense of quietude and relaxation is enhanced when you're not doing it. Do you think that's a spillover from it being in your system, or do you think it's more a reference or having a better reference of what it's like when you're on the indica and having a reference of that relaxation for when you're not? In other words, is it something, it's a mind-learned thing, or do you think there's residuals that are creating the influence? What would you think?
My speculation would be both, Jim.
Okay.
And I would add a third element. When you and I first discussed this matter, I went back to my prior experience with cannabis, which was 50 years ago. when the quality of the cannabis was not as good, and when my intention was not raising my consciousness, but it was kind of an alternative to drinking, to be candid with you.
Right.
But this time I had the benefit of your input. So I went into the experience with the desire, and I suppose to some extent the expectation of having a very different kind of experience, relaxing, opening to possibility. And that's what's happened.
So we use something, a tool. And again, I had this sense from years ago, not that many years ago, and I think it's a core resonance experience, that cannabis was going to bring humanity back to its roots. But you're having the experience of using a real low dosage of cannabis and having an experience that in some respects is bringing you back to your roots, because your ability to get thrown off and get upset or move to a type of rigidity, because, what would be anxiety but a type of rigidity? In other words, a type of overload, for which the expression, anxiety can be lots of things, but it's a mental, being jittery mentally, but
or fear.
Yeah, well, that's right. And so all of that comes from overload. You see, when we're in overload, that means we're not able to take in any more new insights. When no new insights are no longer available when we're in fear. And the more the fear, the more the shutdown. And the point is that in relaxing from the overload, when we move away from the rigidity and the focus we don't want, we relax. And when we relax, our possibility of seeing alternatives and solutions and possibilities becomes available. So it's the rigidity and the overload that we're wanting to learn how to release. And I won't quite call this microdosing, but clearly using really small amounts of cannabis seemed to, as I was clear, actually very clear about, not when we started this series, that cannabis, a layer of resistance drops away. And in that case, everything opens up a little bit more. The rigidity drops away, the whole nine yards, for which you're having the experience. And this is what this whole thing started out as.
Well, and the cannabis is a piece of a larger puzzle. I just happen to be reading Bruce Lipton's book at the moment,
right,
where he talks, specifically about how the cell operates. And you shared that there are a large number of receptor sites for, what is it, cannabinoid or
cannabinoids?
Cannabinoids, which are plugged into this business of reducing stress and
homeostasis.
Putting you into relaxation and getting you out of, presenting you with a very stark alternative to fight or flight.
So it's interesting. So it's interesting that relaxation actually comes from homeostasis. So as we feed the cells and there's more cannabinoid receptor sites. And I'd like for somebody that really knows better, but the article I go from is I say clinical. It's a kind of a research document. Maybe not quite that strong, but it's written from a scientific perspective, stating that there's more cannabinoid receptor sites than any other kind. And of course,
you sent me the article that
well,
you've been sharing.
It was
with
2014. I've been sharing it for a really long time, so I throw the information out with a bit of a caveat, because the information's 10 years old. But generally speaking, this suggestion was there's more cannabinoid receptor sites than any other kind on cell walls, and the body produces cannabinoids, and the phytocannabinoid produced by the cannabis plant is quite the adjunct to producing the amount of cannabinoids that the body needs for homeostasis, that the cell needs for homeostasis. And so in homeostasis, relaxation and less rigidity and less being on edge and less anxiety and all that stuff becomes more available. And this is what humans need to be doing, by the way. We need to be learning about what makes us tick and share it among ourselves. We don't need what corporations telling us what works. We need humans. This is the whole point of what we've been doing here in these different parts of this series about, what is it, cannabis, core resonance, and soaring affirmations is what this series is. And ultimately, what we're doing is we're sharing, we're as human beings, we're learning what we know, what we're finding, we're sharing it among each other. I call it all things human. And so learning about stasis and becoming whole, for which overload and fear and rigidity and resistance and reactionary processing and all that stuff fade away, because becoming whole is the game for human beings, all of us.
Well, Bruce Lipton makes the point that if we don't embrace community, we're not going to make it as a species. And he's very optimistic. To him, it's the next logical step up the ladder, and all the processes you've been sharing with me are supportive, of that end. Moving people out of fight or flight, moving people out of fear into homeostasis and an openness to community and sharing.
Well, in my world, I don't have a formal education, and actually, I say thank God I don't. But I do have 50 years background in meditation, 49 years, and I have something a lot of people don't have. Therefore, I have a perspective a lot of people don't have, and that's what I share. I share what I've learned from being introspective for almost 50 years. And of course, core resonance, I've done in the range of 400 sessions, which is a massive amount. Core resonance, its foundation is neurofeedback, but it's been advanced considerably beyond the way traditional feedback, neurofeedback is used. And
Well, bottom line, you've had less to unlearn than the vast majority of humankind, including yours truly. And it's interesting. I mean, you can pick out examples like, well, one everybody recognizes is, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, who resisted listening to conventional wisdom, listened to their own inner knowing, and produced some fantastic results as a result of going that way. And I think you're doing the same thing with the panoply of insights and services that you're making available to people.
well, I don't think institutional learning is going to give you massive breakthroughs in consciousness. I think institutional learning is rote. I don't care how fancy it gets. It's still, I'll tell you what, let's touch on one other thing, and maybe it was in earlier in this series, and then we'll go on to our next subject. But
Okay.
I think I mentioned there was a Science of Consciousness. It was a 5-day seminar. It was the year 2000. It was put on by the University of Arizona at Tucson. And oh, gee, the asked the what was his name? He's an anesthesiologist. Maybe his name will come to me. But 5-day event. Half of the is all physicists. Different, very. A physicist is kind of a loose term. Metaphysics, physics is physics, metaphysics is beyond physics, and your physicist is generally somebody that has studied the atom and the molecular makeup of things and come to a spiritual understanding. That's my definition of a physicist. I know that's a little bit on the loose side, but within the spiritual understanding that a certain part of science has started to explore as physicists, we've come to find that there's two groups in that, and the ones that are microdosing are full on out with psilocybin and mescaline and ayahuasca and all that. And then you got your physicists, they're kind of your linear version, your institutional. I started to say institutionalized. That's not what I meant. Institutional learning. And what I found was that the physicists that had a lot of backdrop in plant medicines and this and that were far more clear in their capacity to identify what they understood about the spiritual realm than the physicists who were more linear and more an institutional understanding of things. And while they're very, very, very brainy, and both groups were, one had a much softer edge and a much more refined language and a much more useful language for exploring and understanding spirituality, which ultimately is where all of us are going and have to go, some kicking and screaming and some leading the way. And I do consider myself in that category, and that's part of our conversation. So,
well, Lipton distinguishes those two groups as, on the one hand, Newtonian, which is the traditional physics based on Newton, and then the quantum physicians who are in the camp of open to possibility. It's all about energy, and he's combined to both. He respects what he learned as a Newtonian cellular biologist and what he learned as a quantum physician.
Well, as we try to wind this down, what I've come to see is the mind itself has massive, in fact, once you come to understand presence, you'll discover how limited the mind is as a tool. And an example of that would be the mind's ability to project is limited to what it already knows. And what it already knows certainly may or may not be accurate, but it's like intuition is not a mind tool. Intuition comes in separately from the mind. In fact, often the mind will attempt to compete with intuition or second guess it and kind of undermine it. But mind-based is linear. It is based on polarities, and polarities, hot and cold, fast and slow, leave out so much of the bigger realm of things. And so we need to learn to move to non-linear. That's one of the reasons we explore spirituality, because spirituality is that realm of the non-linear, the much, 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 much bigger picture. And we need to move beyond the mind to explore that. And that's where the tools of ayahuasca, I'm not promoting ayahuasca or any of this stuff, but it doesn't mean that people won't do it. And I prefer people do things in small amounts, explore it in kind of a sensible manner. And it's easy to overdo things like that, for which all you do is learn lessons a little bit the harder way. And of course, we've all done it. But what
Let
I've
me
done,
quickly,
go
go ahead,
ahead.
excuse
No,
me.
No, no, go ahead.
A quick share that supports what you're talking about. I belong to a Friday night group of fellow residents here. And I was down there on Friday night, and one of the gals just came back from seeing her new granddaughter. Her son lives on and runs an organic farm. And she brought back a large quantity of not just organic items, but these are grown on soil that is rotated, you know, lovingly by her son, given to her as a gift. And she brought a bag full to share with the group.
So we're talking about cannabis?
I'm
or
talking
fruit.
About organic vegetables.
Okay.
But I'll make the connection quickly. And then she offered it to the group. A couple people took, you know, one garlic bud. And I waited about 15 minutes, and there's this beautiful array. In my world, you know, it's like having $20 bills on the table. So I asked her for her bag, and I put them all in the bag and you know, took them home with me. The point being in the world of the other people around that table, this was no big deal. This was not a blessing. And I think it's the same with living your life in the mind. The technologies that you're sharing and making available to people offer them a viable, self-supporting alternative. But if you've never been offered that or never had experiences of that or some combination of the two, it doesn't show up on the radar screen. That's the importance of what you're doing, Jim. You're opening up that world to people, many of whom have had no significant prior experience with it.
Well, so what we are exploring is alternatives to meditation and this and that. And of course, cannabis is interesting stuff. It's become illegal in most states now. And in small amounts, again, a layer of resistance drops away. And if you got an awful lot of debris in there, that debris is kind of going to show up. But everything is about introspection. We have to go within at some point, preferably some soon point. And we use tools. Meditation's a tool. Cannabis is a tool, which is part of the point of this series of articles. And again, as human beings exploring our spirituality, the next best thing is sharing it with others. And I call that all things human. And we're going to see more of that theme in the different kinds of conversations you and I do. And I can't imagine anything more interesting than helping humans better understand their very nature, because as we come to understand our nature, we become, what do they call it, empowered. We become in touch with our nature. We become able to express our nature. We move out of rigidity and overload and resistance and reaction and upsetting other people because we're reactive. And so we learn how to be gifts to each other.